Turn with me, please, to Ruth chapter 2 for the reading of God's Word. It's Ruth chapter 2, and when you have found the passage, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Hear now the Word of God. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So far, the reading of God's word. Please be seated. (Clears If you were able to hear the sermon last week, you will recall that our story is set for us in the broad context, as Ruth 1:1 tells us, in the days when the judges ruled. And as Judges 21:25 tells us, during this time, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Gone were the days of Moses, Aaron, and Joshua, under whose leadership the people of Israel triumphantly, though all too imperfectly, left their hard life of bondage in Egypt and entered the Promised Land, the Promised Land which flowed with milk and honey. Those days were gone, and the days when the kings ruled over Israel, beginning with Saul and ending with Zedekiah, who reigned over Judah, the days of the kings had not yet arrived. So in this interim period between the judges and the kings, marked by lawlessness, covenant breaking, sin, God appointed various men and one woman to rule over his chosen people. Within the context of the book of Ruth itself, however, we can see the days of the kings approaching. Ruth 4:21 and 22 tells us that from the marriage of Boaz and Ruth will come Obed. From Obed will come Jesse. And from Jesse will come David. And no one who reads their Bible can miss Jesus as the descendant of David's who will fulfill all of the promises made to David. No, the days of the kings are not far from us here in Ruth 2, because the seed of the Israelite monarchy begins here with Boaz and Ruth. Now that we've peeked ahead a bit, we should also look back to chapter 1 and recall that there in verses 16 and 17, Ruth made an eloquent profession of faith. And this is not what we would expect from Ruth, a foreigner, one of the, in the Hebrew, lo ami, that is, not my people, an unbeliever. Instead, it was Naomi, an Israelite, who all but cursed God for depriving her of her husband and her two sons. And Ruth the Moabitess, from outside the covenant community, Ruth invoked the covenant, binding herself to God and swearing the oath that Yahweh would be her God and the Israelites would be her people. We should also recall the reason why Naomi left the Promised Land and why she is bringing a Moabitess with her back into the Promised Land upon her return. Bethlehem, whose name in Hebrew means the house of bread, had no bread, for the Lord had visited a famine upon the land. But why would the Lord visit a famine upon the people and the land whom and which he had promised to bless? But the Levitical laws, with their blessings for obedience and their curses for disobedience, give us the answer. God's blessing was conditioned upon Israel's obedience, and God's curse was conditioned upon Israel's disobedience, and Israel had disobeyed. God's people had been unfaithful. Naomi and her husband Elimelech, whose name means "my God is king," left the land which had flowed with milk and honey instead of trusting their Redeemer. Naomi and Elimelech left this promised land with their two sons to forage for food among the unclean Moabites. And though each of their two sons married a Moabite woman, both Naomi's sons and Elimelech died there in Moab. And now, upon hearing that the Lord had replenished the house of bread with bread, Naomi sulks back to Canaan, while Ruth embraces the Lord in covenant. And now, arriving at chapter 2, we find a more narrow focus for our context. The first three verses give us an overview of the rest of this chapter and possibly even the rest of the book of Ruth. By repeating Boaz's kinship or family relationship with Elimelech in verses 1 and 3, we get the point that Boaz is then also a relative of Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. Boaz is Naomi's kinsman in whose eyes Ruth will find favor. And verse 3 tells us that it is Boaz's field in which Ruth found herself gleaning, and that is where we find ourselves in verse 4. But verses 4 through 17 are structured in such a way as to suggest the focus and the climax of our story. The objects of Boaz's conversation mark the sections. At the center, we find Boaz talking with Ruth from verses 8 through 14. And that center is the focus and the climax. And this is flanked on either side in verses 4 through 7 and verses 15 through 17 by the interaction between Boaz and his reapers and his servant in charge of the reapers. Having been given the clue then in verses 1 through 3 that Boaz is Ruth's kinsman, and knowing Naomi's wish for Ruth from chapter 1, that she would find another husband and that she would be redeemed from her state of widowhood, we eagerly anticipate the meeting of Boaz and Ruth, their marriage, and the start toward the monarchy with Obed. But verse 4 does not gratify our yearning. The action in the story is delayed, and we will have to wait. Instead, the suspense builds as Boaz comes from the house of bread to the fields where his reapers are gathering the makings of bread. And after exchanging greetings in the Lord with them, he must have noticed Ruth, for he asks the servant who is in charge of his reapers about her. She is a Moabitess, a foreigner. And Ruth herself confesses as much in verse 10. "How can I find favor in your eyes, Boaz? I am a foreigner." Slowly, in the context of our story, we begin to remember that this is not the first time we have encountered the foreigner theme in Israel's history. Indeed, that was Israel's identity and status in Egypt before the Exodus. In fact, in the context of the Lord's command to Israel regarding orphans and widows like Ruth, he reminds them of the great salvation with which he had saved them, saying in Exodus 22:21, "And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Even Moses, that great covenant mediator who God used to lead Israel out of Egypt, even Moses said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." But God had made provision for the poor and the foreigners within the boundaries of Canaan. Leviticus 23:22 commanded the Israelites, "When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God." And so the servant who was in charge of Boaz's reapers had granted Ruth's request to glean in the field, and she had been gleaning since the morning with only a short rest. Now when we hear Boaz speak to Ruth in verse 8, now we hear Boaz against the landscape of redemptive history. He is not merely providing for the widow Ruth. He functions as part of the same supernatural self-disclosure of God the Redeemer. Israel's story of going from being strangers and foreigners to being taken in by God as his people, Israel's story is Ruth's story. Israel is not to wander outside the borders of Canaan to foreign lands, and Ruth is to remain within the fields of Boaz. Israel's eyes are not to wander after foreign kings and their gods, and Ruth is to keep her eyes on the provisions of Boaz. And just as God protected Israel from all of those who meant her harm, so Boaz protects Ruth by forbidding the men to touch her. Just as God quenched Israel's thirst in the wilderness, so Boaz makes available to Ruth all the water that she might desire. Boaz is beginning to act as Ruth's redeemer. And so it is no wonder that Ruth responds to Boaz the way that she does, bowing low to the ground and asking, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And his answer to her is reminiscent of someone we know from before the Exodus, someone we know from before Moses, all the way back to Father Abraham. You may recall Genesis 12:1, which tells us, "Just as Abraham did as the Lord had told him, he went forth from his country and from his relatives and from his father's house to the land which the Lord would show him." Boaz uses this language with Ruth in verse 11. "She left her father and her mother and the land of her birth and came to a people that she did not previously know." Ruth's reputation has commended her to Boaz. For in contrast to Naomi the Israelite, who did not believe that God would redeem her first from her hunger, then from her widowhood and her sonlessness, now from her estatelessness, in contrast to that Naomi, Ruth the Moabitess, the foreigner, has been faithful not only to Naomi, for Ruth is gleaning in order to feed Naomi also, but she has been faithful to God as well. Like believing Abraham before her, Ruth too was living by faith as an alien in the land of promise, because she too was looking for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. She had come to take refuge under his wing, and she is beginning to find that refuge in type and in shadow in Boaz. Ruth again expresses her gratitude that she has found favor in the sight of Boaz because he is treating her as if she were one of his own servants, though she is not. And we see this beautifully at mealtime, where Ruth must have been apart from the rest of the servants and reapers, because Boaz invites her to join his employees at the table, to share bread and wine with his servants as if she were one of them. But do not miss the irony at the end of verse 14. It might seem likely that the servants would serve Boaz. It might seem even more likely to the catechized Israelite, if you will, that the alien, the foreigner, should at least serve Master Boaz, if not the rest of his Israelite employees. If anyone should be doing the serving in this story, it is Ruth. But wealthy Boaz, the Israelite who has the right to be served by a Gentile as one whose ancestors were commanded to drive the Gentiles out of the promised land, wealthy Boaz serves Ruth, the foreigner. And he not only serves her, but he nourishes her in such abundance that she even has food left over. But the refuge which Boaz provides does not end there. As Ruth rises from the table, satisfied and ready to resume gleaning, Boaz commands his reapers not only to allow her to glean among the sheaves, and not only to refrain from insulting her and rebuking her, but he exceeds his lawful duty to this female foreigner by ordering his reapers to intentionally pull some grain from their bundles, which they had worked so hard to harvest, and leave it for Ruth to glean. What a privilege. Boaz has yet again provided for Ruth so abundantly that at the end of a day's gleaning, Ruth had gathered an ephah of grain, what normally took a poor person the better part of 2 weeks to gather. But do not miss it, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do not miss what all of this means. This is not merely a nice story to teach us to love our neighbors or to provide for the poor. Boaz functions as part of the supernatural self-disclosure of God the Redeemer. God is revealing himself as the Redeemer in Ruth chapter 2, and he is showing us something of how he will redeem a people for himself. If this story in Ruth chapter 2 sounds familiar, it should, for it is your story too. Ruth's story is our story. As chapter 2 will go on to explain, Boaz is a close kinsman to Naomi and thus to Ruth as well. Close kinsmen in ancient Israel were to redeem the property that their poor relatives had lost. This close kinsman was called a goel, a kinsman redeemer. And Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer who saved her from a hopeless widowhood. But he is only a sketchy picture pointing us to the ultimate redeemer from heaven who became our kinsman by coming in the flesh, by becoming a man. You see, in Adam, we lost the property which had been promised to us if Adam obeyed. We would own God as our God, and he would own us as his people in his presence in his heavenly throne room. But Christ, far better than Boaz, is our heavenly kinsman redeemer who has saved you from a hopelessness resulting from being without God. He has redeemed you from your destitute status as foreigners to the kingdom of God. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming that curse for you. For as lawbreakers by nature, we would have been condemned to being foreigners to God's kingdom for eternity. But Christ, who, like Boaz, came to serve you, not to be served by you, Christ not only died to redeem you from the penalty God demands for your sin, but he lived a perfect, holy, and righteous life in your place, that you might be declared co-heirs, fellow servants, fellow citizens with Christ. And as if that weren't enough, Christ not only lived and died to redeem you, he was also raised for your justification. That resurrection vindicated Christ. In other words, Christ's resurrection declared to the world that he was perfectly righteous before God, and it put him beyond probation. And when you are united with Christ by faith, his vindication is your vindication. Yes, Christ, far better than Boaz, is your heavenly kinsman redeemer. According to Ephesians 2:12 through 22, though we were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Christ has redeemed us. In Christ Jesus, we who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Just as Ruth, who was a foreigner and an alien to the land and the faith of Israel, so we, wretched sinners that we are, were also strangers and aliens to the covenant promise of the kingdom of God. As Hebrews 11 tells us, Ruth died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that she was a stranger and an exile on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. But as it is, she desires a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called her God, for he has prepared a city for her. But we have received the promises in Christ. He inaugurated or started the heavenly kingdom of God, which has been the hope of all believers throughout history. He started this in principle at his resurrection. And in union with him, we participate in and we live out of this heavenly arena. Yet even though we are no longer strangers and aliens to the covenant of promise, we, like Ruth was, are still foreigners in this present evil age, which is passing away. We still share Ruth's confession that we are strangers and exiles on the earth. The cities in which we live here now are not our home. We are still foreign pilgrims. Our home as rightful citizens is heaven, the age which is to come and which has come with our Lord Jesus Christ. When the age which is to come arrives in perfection, then all of the earthly provisions which Ruth received from Boaz and which we still need during our earthly pilgrimage here, those provisions will pale in comparison with the heavenly state of affairs. Though Boaz quenched Ruth's thirst by making his servant's water available to her, Ruth would thirst again. But Jesus, far better than Boaz, is himself the living water. Drink of him. You will find life, and you will thirst no more. And though Boaz satisfied Ruth's hunger by his overabundant provision at the table, Ruth would feel the pangs of hunger again. But Jesus, far better than Boaz, is himself the bread from heaven. Feed upon him. You will be satisfied, and you will have eternal life. And when we arrive in the ultimate promised land, heaven, we will have no more hunger, no more thirst, no more need, for we will possess God himself. Come, let us bow down low to the ground before our heavenly kinsman redeemer and worship him. For though we were foreigners to him, he has redeemed us and given us refuge under his wing. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great salvation, of which we are given a glimpse here in the book of Ruth. We thank you that you do not delight in the death of the wicked, for if you did, there would be no hope for us. Instead, O God, you have welcomed the foreigner, the stranger, and the outcast, such as Ruth and ourselves, to your heavenly banquet table, and we are eternally grateful for your gracious provision. We confess that there is nothing in us which makes us worthy of your favor, that only Christ is worthy, and that you have freely bestowed your salvation upon us only for his sake. But we ask that since you have seated us with our risen Lord in the heavenly places, that you might feed and nourish our souls this day by your word. For Christ is our meat and our drink. You have promised to be with us in a most holy and heavenly way in the preaching of your word. And so we ask that as your word has been preached this morning, that we might behold Christ our God, our Redeemer, and our life. Amen.